Hey, it's Sunny. You are listening to the iTunes version of the Subbeacon. You should go sign up at the Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. Sign up there. This episode that you're about to listen to is about The Batman, which came out a couple weeks ago, obviously. It's grossed $300 million. You could have known what we thought about it 2 weeks ago. The episode this week is going to be, I think, a barn burner, because we're going to be talking about Deep Water, the new erotic thriller from Adrian Lyne. It's streaming on Hulu. Stars Ben Affleck, Ana de Armas. I can only imagine what Vic makes of this. And then on the bonus Patreon exclusive Forever episode, we're going to be looking back at Fatal Attraction. What a terrifying movie. Anyway, that's on HBO Max. So, good couple episodes being taped this week at some point. Or I don't know. I guess we'll tape Fatal Attraction on Monday, right? That's when we do that. Sign up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com, listen there, and we'll see you over at the site.
Whoa, take it easy, sweetheart. Hear everything they say, ancient.
Maybe we're not so different. Who are you under there?
I'm vengeance.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon's now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL.
Two things. Yeah. Number one, look what I'm wearing.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we got the text from your lovely wife, and I almost texted back. It looks like a really fun MLS game they're going to.
Yeah,
but
I didn't want you to
get offended.
We're gonna get Red Bull patches. It's gonna be great.
Etihad. I go for Etihad.
Dubai Air.
Dubai. Yes.
So
yes,
I am concerned.
Ooh, about
that we have hit a moment of unsustainability. Because when I went to purchase my theater ticket for The Batman.
The Batman!
I was going to just purchase it on the Alamo Drafthouse's website for $16. But for $19.99, I could do the Alamo... Alamo's Movie Pass. It has a real name, but I'm not going to call it the real name. Just Alamo has their own version of Movie Pass.
The season pass or something. Isn't that what they call it?
$20 a month, and you can see a movie a day. No exceptions.
I know you would want to see a movie a day, but can you see
nothing?
Yeah, you want to see a movie a day, but can you see a movie a day?
So obviously, I'm not going to. But
you should. I mean, that pays for itself in two trips. We go see more than two movies a month.
That's what I thought. And so I just did it. And you know what? It feels like a whole, because the Alamo has so much great programming. For instance, they're going to have Almost Famous later this month. And well, you know, ordinarily you might say to yourself, oh, I'd like to go see Almost Famous on a Thursday night. But then you'd think, you know, look, there's 5 million reasons not to. But taking the $15 or $12 or whatever it is off the table,
mm-hmm, and just walking
in that much closer. Yep. And I don't know, why isn't everybody in America just paying the Alamo $20 a month so they can go see however many movies they want?
So they have not restarted that program in Dallas. I was like on the wait list for it. And everything shut down and they haven't restarted it. But when they do restart it, I'm totally going to sign up for it. I mean, it's an amazing deal. It's a wonderful deal. Here's my two things. First off, maybe they may have changed this. I don't know, but. When you sign up for it, you still have to pay like the $1.30 something.
Yes. The convenience fee.
On the app.
Fine. Whatever. I want these people to succeed. Yeah. I will pay that.
Well, but that's so, right. But so here's the other thing. I have never quite understood what the actual, maybe you know, JBL, but I've never actually, I've never quite understood what the actual financial breakdown on these are. So like, in theory, right, a $20 monthly pass goes right to Alamo, and then you're not buying the ticket, which would, you know, usually be split 70-30, say, between the studio and the theater. So I've never quite understood how that breaks down. If like every time you go to a movie via this pass, the Alamo Drafthouse or AMC with their you know their season pass type thing. I don't know if they're like just cutting a like $12 check to the studios. I don't quite understand how it works.
I don't know either, but I believe that this is their only shot at surviving streaming, mm-hmm. which is to convert movie going. Because this will work as a thing so long as we still have some new releases. But eventually there won't be any new releases exclusive to theaters, right? The window will be closed. You could see everything. And it'll just be choosing to spend $20 on the Alamo in addition to your $13 on Netflix and your $17 on Disney Plus because you want to be able to go and see back catalog stuff like Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Right? This is what it'll be. And it's like a date night. It's people like to get out of the house. This is why. Because I tell you, the other thing they do is I had the Edward Nygma popcorn.
Did you?
Oh.
Was it good? I didn't get it. So I went to go. I actually
is this the sweet and salty combination
with churros in it. It's churro popcorn bites. With churros
churro
in
bites.
It.
Churro bites. I didn't get that when I went to the when I went I actually went and saw Batman again for a second time.
Oh,
cuz so it was so good.
This, wow. So I could do this show.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Be fresh. We'll talk about that more later, but I just got the regular popcorn instead of the, because I wasn't sure, does it come with the free refill? If you get the Edward Nygma popcorn, do you get the refill?
Let me tell you, I finished my thing of popcorn, and I was curious about that, but there was zero chance that I could have another bowl of it.
You would have died.
I would have died. Does your Alamo have, as additional popcorn, the choice of Parmesan cheese?
Yep.
And or truffle oil?
Truffle salt oil. Yeah.
Truffle oil.
Yeah.
This is why
too rich for my blood. Too rich for my blood.
Best. It's the best.
I don't like I actually don't like truffle. I think it actually gives me heartburn.
What you don't like is the fact that most truffle oil, it's just a chemical base that's an imitation of it. It's not like they're shaving truffle on
No, I'm sure that at the Alamo, they're shaving the truffles. they actually have the pig from the Nicolas
Cage's
movie.
They've got each Alamo draft house, they send the pig around. Yeah. You know,
I used to remember the name of the chemical
place.
Name. I can't remember it right now.
Anyway, so that's what I'm doing. And anyway, I just feel like whole new vistas are open to me now that I can just go see. And in fact, I'm taking G Money, the movies on Saturday morning.
To see Almost Famous?
Because Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh.
Is back out. Maybe it never left, but it hasn't been at the Alamo
still
in a while.
It's still collecting.
Yeah, it's still top five.
It hasn't been in my Alamo for a while, and it's back. And I thought, well, one of these tickets is free. Boom. Let's just do this. Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, look, it's a good deal for the Alamo because the whole point is to get you in there so you're buying the popcorn and the soda and the, you know, the beers and the wine
and the chocolate chip cookies.
G-Money
is very, very specific about what he wants for this. He wants the chicken tenders for lunch. And
you
then
got a whole meal in there.
He wants the popcorn to munch on, and he wants the chocolate chip cookies, which I don't know if you've ever had there, but they come out fresh baked and like moist and gooey, and they are delicious.
Yeah,
I've still never been to an Alamo.
Vic,
if
what
it's
are you
not
doing,
it's like if it's not 10 minutes
it's
away, I'm
like
not
Ashburn,
going.
Right?
I don't even know. Oh
no, it's in Woodbridge. It's
like I said. Okay, well, good for you though. Lucky for you, there's an Alamo. It's too bad there's not one. There used to be. There was an Arlington Draft House on Columbia Pike, but I don't
it's
think
still
that's
there.
The same.
That's still there.
Is it the same?
I still get emails about it, so
really?
I'm pretty sure it's still there.
I think they're probably showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show there. Is what?
Well, they do. It's interesting. So the last like two or three times I went to the Arlington Draft House, it was to see stand up comedy. It was not to see a movie.
Oh.
Because it like doubles as a live comedy venue.
Oh, I
so
see.
I saw
what did you
God,
see?
I saw Jay Moore there. I saw I saw Jay Sandra Sharkar from the Broken Lizard.
Yes, yeah.
Troop. Jay Sandra Sharkar.
Jay Moore. Jersey
Moore.
Guy.
Yeah. Bob Sugar. Jay Moore.
Yeah,
Jay
Bob
Moore
Sugar. Was, most famously is Bob Sugar. That's right.
Jay Moore was definitely like, it was definitely like back end of a comedian's career, Jay Moore.
So he gotten fat?
No, not that. He just
because
like,
he did get very fat.
He was a big exercise freak for a while, and he would be like a co-host. He would guest host on Regis and Kelly when Regis wasn't there and stuff, and he'd be always showing off his guns and things like that.
Really?
And then that happens. So you saw him post Jerry Maguire, is what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I saw him like 3 years ago.
Three years ago.
Wasn't he one of those cast members who got lost in the shuffle? In the same way Julia Louis-Dreyfus was
crazy.
A cast member for half
that's
a season.
Jennifer Aniston.
And Chris Rock, you know, like yeah, same Chris thing. Rock. Like that whole era.
Yeah.
He didn't have Jim Brewer's talent.
Ouch. Good for you, JVL. I hope you enjoy. You should see. I'd love to see Almost Famous again.
You guys should go together.
The
minute the trailer came on, I just thought to myself, "Oh yeah."
And the music, is so good, and it's like
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh,
that was
Lester Bangs.
He's the trailer, right? He's
why don't we do that for a bonus?
I'd love to do that for a bonus.
Let's do that for a bonus. You guys should go together. You should. You could pop Fix Cherry at the Alamo Draft House.
Victorino, let me sweeten the deal.
That's not the popcorn.
Let me sweeten the deal for you. You come out here to the Alamo, and afterwards we can come back to my house, and you can Oculus.
We will find a time.
You can jump on the Oculus, and you can fight. Because this is the thing with the Star Wars game, you fight with Darth Vader, not against.
Oh, with
you're on his side.
Well, they know what we want. They know what the people want. I'm like, I don't want to defeat Darth Vader. And this is like I guess if you go to this was like this on the Disney cruise, and I think it's like it if I don't know if it's like that if you go to Disney World now, but you know, they just automatically assume you want to be a rebel. And I'm like, no, who would want to do that?
No thanks.
If you come out here, I will I'll buy your ticket to the Alamo.
Oh, I'd be the guest. That's exciting.
And then we can play Star Wars on the Oculus together.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Oh, hey, do you want to talk about it now or save
it
for the
bonus?
Do you want to
talk about it now? I mean,
I was thinking we could talk about the bonus if you want, or we could talk about it now.
Would you? I mean, I guess we could save it for the bonus.
Yeah, I'd say.
Did you not do the reading, Vic?
I flipped
did
through
Did you not
it.
Do the assigned
I think,
reading?
I think I got the gist of it. I really didn't care. It's, you know, I don't read about movies, as you know.
I did the reading.
So it's going to be on all you right, guys.
All right, fine. We'll save
okay,
that
for
the... Okay,
so those of you who are listening
Obi-Wan
to this...
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
We are going to talk about, in addition to this interesting article, we're going to talk about the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer.
Here I am. I'm trying to save you time and effort.
I know. I know.
Like, here's
I know,
a 15 minute story
I
to read.
I think I put 5 minutes in it.
Sonny, that's 15 minutes for you to read.
I'm like, I don't even know what's happening. I don't even understand half the term. Who are these people?
Hold on. Pause. Are you ready? Wait, Vic, you actually paused.
Yeah, I'm frozen. Why? What am I?
Okay. Here's. I want to read it. It's just as a. But Bazile had cachet among a new clique of Instagram-obsessed Manhattan scenesters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know. Yeah. I was like,
that.
How do I Google translate that to me?
I want to get a ranking from JVL. I was going to spring this on. I want to get a ranking from JVL of the worst people in that story.
Okay.
I'll just tease people. I'm just going to tease people with this. We read this story, and
this
whole
is a story
time,
on BuzzFeed.
The whole time, I'm thinking to myself... I want to kill everybody in this. And the story ends in what it's supposed to, I believe, from by the author, be a sort of tragic denouement. And I thought to myself, oh, it has a happy ending.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, all right. We'll see. So tune in, subscribe for the bonus episode. Sonny Bunch, what's going on?
I was just saying right before the show started, JVL was chugging something, something out of a can.
Fizzy water. It's just fizzy water.
And it was just very amusing to me because my 3-year-old son has started to do that so he can burp.
Mm.
he's hit that point of boyhood where he will drink something and he'll drink just it like as fast as possible just so he can burp afterwards and then laugh and laugh about it. It's the it's very, very funny.
He'll be like he can enter that the competition in Revenge of the Nerds. Do you remember that the burping contest?
Oh.
It was Ogre versus Booger. Yeah.
Booger.
Yes. A classic movie. And Booger won. I think
a
yeah,
classic won, movie in which belch. The denouement is date rape.
No, but it was like,
well, no, that's not the that's
no,
not the denouement.
No,
that's
no,
like
that was
halfway
not.
Through the movie.
She thought it was Ted McGinley, and that's fine.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. In the Moon Bounce house.
Yeah. She's wearing a mask, you know.
Yeah, she thought it was Ted McGinley. Ted McGinley.
And that was something the hero did.
But you know, okay. So that's what's going on with you, Sonny.
That's what's going on with me. I got nothing else. I was, like I said, we can talk about the. We'll talk a little bit more about the Draft House.
I could talk about Almost Famous Forever. It's like the reason why you went into journalism, except for none of those things happened to me. But it's like the reason why you would want to go into journalism to be covering these bands and have all these crazy experiences and serious, really insane shoe leather reporting and whatever. And you know, speaking of Almost Famous, do you know what I started reading today? To Kill a Mockingbird.
Have you read? No, wait. Don't tell me.
It's really interesting.
Why did you start reading?
Oh, my son's reading it. So he said, here's another one I can read. I feel like I'm just going through eighth grade again. This is except for the books I've never
Vic
read.
Saw it and he said they made a novel adaptation of
they
the
novelized
because I did
Gregory
see the
Peck movie.
I did.
They, they novelized the Aaron Sorkin play.
That's even worse. I did see when he's in tenth grade
and you finish it. What are you guys gonna talk about?
I wish had I not seen the movie that I'd be like, ooh, what's gonna happen here? You know, who to believe? It's crazy.
Schiffer Road.
Okay, so I do want to say this. As you know, we all have our issues, our various obsessive compulsions, and as you know, one of mine there are many, but one of mine is, of course, I hate to see food go to waste. Right.
Sure.
And I don't know if this was rock bottom or this is like it's time to check into a clinic because a couple days ago, it's a very Costanza-like moment. I'm about to throw something in garbage and there's something in there. There was a bagel, but it was in a Ziploc. It was sealed. It was sealed in a Ziploc. And I said, what is this doing in here? So I lift it up. I don't see any evidence of any mold or anything whatsoever. Kate says it'd been there for 8 days. It was time to throw it out or however long. I don't see anything. I didn't tell her I did this at the time. So I took it out of the Ziploc. It was in the trash. I took it out, sliced it open. I toasted it and I had a bagel and cream cheese. Now I normally don't even eat breakfast, but I had it because I didn't want to see it go to waste. And then she walks down and I'm just sort of quietly eating and she stops because she knows there are no bagels. And then she just turns around and she goes, did you get that out of the trash? And I said, it was in a Ziploc. And she just shook her head. She goes, yeah, well, good luck with that.
I know I've made this reference before in regard to you, Vic, but this is like the Simpsons episode where Homer cannot get rid of the giant sandwich.
The lobster?
And it almost kills him.
Oh, the sandwich almost kills him.
It almost kills it because it keeps getting like moldier and moldier. Right. There's like mushrooms growing off the top of it.
But he had to eat it.
And he found it from behind the radiator. And it was all
that's
brown.
That's right. He found it right, even when it was rotting, and he still ate the sandwich. It's true.
You're a real life Homer Simpson.
No, it's
you're
sad.
The Asian Homer Simpson.
It is really
you're the Filipino American Homer Simpson.
See, what's funny is that our grandparents had that because their childhood memories were of the Depression,
the deprivation.
Yeah.
Vic, you're the son of a doctor. Mm-hmm. You don't have any excuse for this.
No, and we threw, you know, like if you didn't finish, you just played and you put the plate. I don't know where, but it really bothers me that I'm like, I can't, I got to have this. The other thing is Kate bought.
That's sick. You're sick.
I haven't.
You got to go to a doctor.
I need to see a doctor for this.
You need to see a brain doctor.
There. So she bought like this awful, she went to Whole Foods and what brought this awful knockoff version of Whole Foods version of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's so bad. So nobody wanted to eat it. So I took the bag and I brought it with me to the office. And
you
I what
took
I
one
do
for
is,
the team.
Yeah, I took it and I'll like pour it into a cup because sometimes I just need. And it's like
just
cardboard.
Put a notch on.
It's lit. It makes Snackwells taste like Oreo double stuff. That's how bad it is. You're going to say something. Yes. Sir.
Can I ask a question? I feel like this is a Vic question.
Okay.
The guy who I don't think he quite founded Entenmann's, but the guy who turned
Entenmann's
into a like national presence.
Yes.
Died.
Yes.
What is your favorite Entenmann's?
You know, it's funny because I what I really loved was Hostess and even Tasty Cakes because, you know, the crumb cake thing is incredible. And that should have been, you know, for me, that would have been the great Entenmann's thing. But that was the only thing really Entenmann's I've had is their version of a strudel with the white icing on top. You can't, we don't have video here, so you can't see my hand doing the lacing.
It's going maneuver. Back and forth.
It's going back
it's like
and
he's
forth.
Jacking off.
With the white icing. It's the white icing.
With the white icing.
And
he's moving his hand right in his lap and out, and white icing is shooting
it was
everywhere.
All over the place, and it was nice and moist. JVL, you're shaking your head.
The mini chocolate chip cookies, which were soft baked, and I believe may have been the first mass market soft bake cookie product.
Before Almost Home, like it predated Almost Home.
And one of the joys of becoming a quasi adult, you know, once you know, I would have sometimes as many as $10 in my wallet, would be being super hungry and realizing, fuck it, man, I could just go over to ShopRite and buy a box of Entenmann's for $2.99 and eat the whole thing myself.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh.
When you could do that without any consequences. Oh. No consequences. Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing, is it is you can't really do that anymore just because.
No, there were a lot of things on there. You know, it was slightly processed. Sorry, did you have an Entenmann's favorite? Were you an Entenmann's
person? I didn't, and that's why I was kind of curious to ask, because I don't want to say this dismissively because I don't mean it dismissively, but it all kind of tasted the same to me. Like I never really understood the appeal of the like all that stuff, all that Entenmann's, Hostess, etc. It all was like interchangeable to me. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole cult of Entenmann's.
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm Team Hostess, and your life will change if you ever get their cherry pie. So anyway, it's much better than the Whole Foods. So, I mean, this is, I'd rather have a small amount of Entenmann's.
Hostess was my second favorite cherry pie.
Oh, thank you for video. You're missing the video, but I'd rather have a small amount of Entenmann's or Whole Foods than, you know, a large amount of this, for example, this Whole Foods knockoff Cinnamon Toast Crunch cardboard, which, by the way, the only good thing about it is it's an excellent source of fiber. Speaking of massive blowouts, over the weekend, the Batman obliterated the box office with $134 million.
Or half a Spider-Man.
Followed by Uncharted with $11.1 million. And in third place, Dog, again, with $6.1 million. Sonny, you're like Nostradamus. Box office thoughts.
I just want to say, for the record, JBL put me on the spot, said, what do you think it's going to do? And I was like, well, it could do this. But I think it's probably going to do between $130 and $140 million. 134.
Amazing.
I don't really have any box office odds. I mean,
you predicted it, but were you surprised in any way about this, or JVL, were you surprised by the number?
I mean, I think it could have gone higher. It was hurt by the fact that, again, it's 3 hours long, you know, with previews and everything. You get two showtimes a night, and like the second one starts at 10, you know, 15 or whatever.
That's
a problem. You know, it did pretty well. It did very, you know, as far as these things go. I'm very curious to see how it holds this weekend, because it's getting decent. Like, people seem to like it.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to like it more than I liked it. I didn't. We'll talk about this more in a second. I didn't really care for it. I cared for it even less the second time. People seem to like it, so maybe it holds well. The other thing is, there's nothing else coming out. Nothing's coming out for like 3 weeks. So
Sonny, nothing, nothing.
You want to go see a movie, you're going to see Batman.
Is this the best opening for a Batman ever?
Oh. No, it's not even close.
No? Which Batman opened what bigger?
Dark Knight.
Not keeping inflation in mind, because
No inflation adjustment.
I am not a big fan of... Can I just... My theory on adjusting for inflation, I don't like adjusting for inflation because... Whenever you say like, oh, so this is gross this much and compared to this, people are like, oh, but tickets are so much more expensive. Well, yeah, people used to go see movies in theaters to get air conditioning. Okay, I'm not really worried about what fucking Sound of Music did back in the 1960s.
Gone with the Wind is still killing it. Yeah, it's still
in the 1930s. We live in different times now. Gone with the Wind didn't have to compete with Fortnite. So, you know.
Wow. Is that John Podhort screaming? I can almost hear him. Is that him?
I think I'm just hoping to get an angry text message about that tomorrow. Let's see. So The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises both did better, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think The Dark Knight Rises did. It was close, if I remember correctly. The Dark Knight Rises also happened. There was like a mass shooting. Remember the shooting that happened at the midnight showing of The Dark Rises?
You wrote about it, not the shooting, but you
Colorado,
wrote the review.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Colorado.
Well, in my review, this is a funny, haha story. I wrote my review for The Dark Knight Rises. I think it was the first, I think it may have been like the first review I wrote for the Free Beacon, because Matt was like, our friend Matt Continetti was like, I want you to review The Dark Knight Rises for us. I was like, okay, I can do that. And the subhead on the review was something like, Dark Knight Rises blows audience away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad. When Bill Crystal saw that the next morning in the midst of all the news, was like, you guys got to change that. I was like, yeah, you're not wrong. Not wrong. So by the time I was awake, it had been changed. The Dark Knight obviously did more. Batman vs Superman did more. Batman vs Superman had a better.
It's not really a Batman movie, is it?
Yes, it is. That's definitely a Batman movie. Man of Steel is a Superman movie. Batman vs Superman is a Batman movie because it's all about how the most powerful man in the world would react on Earth.
It's a Justice League movie. It's not.
No, it's not a Justice League movie. Justice League is a Justice League movie.
So this week, obviously, we're discussing the Batman.
Batman.
The Fledermaus.
I'm going to keep saying that. I find this the in front of the Batman to be very funny.
It has to be. Otherwise. Sonny, how about a big boy review?
The Batman stars Robert Pattinson as the Batman.
And it was directed by Matt Reeves. Wasn't Kate Mara in one of those Matt Reeves movies?
Wow.
Oh.
How dare you?
I think you need to go to Daily Lotion.
I don't know. I have no
look
problem.
Look up the scene with Juno.
I have
and
no
then
problem.
Make your monkey
no,
jokes.
I'm saying I have no problems. I do think she's hot. Okay. Go ahead, Sonny. Sorry.
Hot monkey. all right. So she is not in this movie. Monkey Kate. How dare you? I can't even get it. You've thrown off my whole
rhythm. I know,
I've
thrown you off. Sorry.
All right, so The Batman stars Robert Pattinson as Batman. He is in year two. It's a year two story, not a year one story. Very important to keep in mind. Year two story.
Totally different.
Totally different from year one. Year two story. And as the film opens...
I just kept imagining the pitch meeting for that, where he goes, we're not going to do Batman. Everybody knows Batman year one. We're going to do Batman Year 2.
But he's actually more incompetent than Batman in Year 1. So it's going to really confuse people. Movie opens with the brutal murder of the mayor by the Riddler. And Batman is trying to solve who is committing these crimes. The mayor gets killed, and then the police chief, and then the DA. There's a terrifying figure wearing an S&M gimp mask. It's actually not. It's like a winter combat mask or something.
It looks like a gimp mask.
But it looks like a gimp mask. It looks like he's wearing an S&M gimp mask.
Yeah, who would wear that in the woods? It's cold. Let me put that mask
on. Which I think is intentional and designed to contrast with what the Batman and Catwoman wear. But whatever. Neither here nor there. in the course of all this, trying to solve these crimes, Batman meets up with Selina Kyle, who is a cat burglar. They team up to try and figure out who is killing people and try. But here's my problem with this movie. I got a lot of problems with this movie. Here's the big one. My big problem with this movie is that the last 40 minutes are totally disconnected from the rest of the picture. So the whole movie is about not really trying to solve who the Riddler is. It is basically just trying to figure out why he's doing what he's doing. They're trying to figure out why the Riddler is doing what he's doing, and they finally figure it all out. Oh, it's because Thomas Wayne's renewal fund was being used for illicit purposes by the mob and blah, blah, blah. And then after the Riddler is caught and he's arrested, he essentially gives himself up. Then there is revealed a whole different separate plan that is mentioned nowhere else in the rest of the film. He's going to blow up the seawalls, which are mentioned nowhere else in the rest of the film. Maybe very briefly in like a news clip. He wants to have a mass shooting of the mayor and all the people who are gathered there to teach them all a lesson about how wicked the city is. It doesn't make it. None of this stuff makes any sense. None of it is even hinted at. And this is the big problem with the movie is that for all the talk about how this is a movie where Batman does detective work. This is what all the reviews say. This is a movie where Batman, he's the world's greatest detective. You see him doing all the detecting. He gets led by his dick by the Riddler through the whole thing. The Riddler basically just tells him all the stuff that's happening. The only detecting he does involves him fingering the wrong guy for being the stool pigeon. He goes to the Penguin, who's played by Colin Farrell, who gives by far my favorite performance in this movie. Colin Farrell as the Penguin is a number one performance in this film, with Zoe Kravitz, sexy Catwoman, as number two, and Jeffrey Wright's Commissioner Gordon, not, I guess not Commissioner yet, but Gordon, Lieutenant Gordon, number three. He solves the riddles, and then it's like, okay, I'm gonna go kill somebody else now. Why don't you solve the riddle after I kill that guy? I kind of hate this movie. I kind of hate this. After the first time I watched it, I didn't love it, but at least I wasn't bored by it. Second time I watched it, totally bored. It is paced horribly.
It's not.
It is way too long.
It's not Hans Zimmer, is it, who did the score?
No, it's Michael
Giacchino.
Giacchino. Yeah, thank you. It does sound good. I actually like the score a lot. Yeah, that's probably my favorite like filmmaking thing about it. But like, it's so long. It's so long. A friend described it as a pilot for like the next series of movies, and that's basically what it is. It is, you know, you're setting up the sequel with the Joker, played by Barry Keoghan. In that little last bit there.
Yeah, I'm shaking my head too.
I hate it. I kind of hate this movie. I don't think it's good at all, and I am baffled. I am baffled by the people who are praising it to the heavens. It was not a successful. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work on like very basic storytelling levels. Mm-hmm. The whole last 40 minutes, the whole big reveal, mm-hmm. it comes out of nowhere. It's totally disconnected from the rest of the movie. It's a mess. It's a mess. And like the annoying thing is, I'll stop here in a second. I'm sorry. The most annoying part of all this to me is that I think there's a kernel of an idea that they're going for, because the movie not only feels too long, it also feels like it's missing scenes. And the scenes that it is missing have to do with Batman and social media. And what I mean is this. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but throughout the film, people are kind of like, in the opening minutes, he fights this gang and they say, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm vengeance," right? It's like cool line. But then throughout the rest of the movie, people are mockingly calling him vengeance. Like Penguin is like, "Hey, it's Mr. Vengeance over here." You know, Catwoman calls him vengeance mockingly. And it feels like there's like, there should have been a scene where, like, a video of him saying "I'm vengeance" to this gang of punks, right, goes viral, mm-hmm. and like he's an inspiration to the city, right, or he's striking fear into the heart of the city. He's doing whatever, and that would mirror the scene at the end of the film where, like, the Twitch streaming Riddler is gathering his army of 4chan white supremacist bros to go shoot up the place, right. And like the idea here being, you know, social media is dangerous and using it mm-hmm. to create followings, has all sorts of ramifications, blah, 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 whatever. Like, at least there would have been a nugget of an idea. And that's nowhere in, that's just, I'm like reading into what I think was cut out of the hour of stuff that was cut out of this movie. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it would have been more interesting than what we ended up with. What we ended up with is a mess and doesn't work for me on basically any level.
JVL.
If you had told the 16-year-old me that there was going to be a Batman movie in which it was super dark and with an emo Batman, and there was even Nirvana in the soundtrack.
Music. Yeah.
And then a Catwoman who you can kind of almost see her nipples in a couple
of
scenes.
Yes, that, yes.
16-year-old me would have been a swing.
Yeah. And assuming you hadn't seen the movie Seven.
I did not like for different reasons than Sonny did not like. I can go into them more. Victorino, are we unanimous?
JPL.
Do we have a rare bit of unanimity?
This is what
are you going to swerve?
Good. No. Yes. I loved it. I wanted another hour. No, I did not like this movie. And I mean, I agree. The music was good. My nephew was texted me and said the music's really good. And okay, fine. The plot, I gave it a C. So the Riddler is not the journalist. Who's the journalist? Okay, because like, what's all this whole thing about the journalist who, you know, they covered it up? Well, what does the Riddler have to do with this? Okay.
Well, no, he's not the journalist. But JBL, I did actually have a question on this. I couldn't quite figure it out. Either time, was he a colleague of the journalist who was murdered? Was he the forensic accountant for like KTM whatever?
Don't think so.
There's a line in the film about how one of his identities is as like leads to a is for a forensic accountant at a KTML or something like
Maybe I don't know. I just thought he was the orphan who was angry that. That Bruce Wayne got to like that. That's,
yes, the orphan who, unlike him in the tower. Right. Another question. Didn't the Joker kill the Waynes? Isn't that still, or are we now no longer? What do you call it? It's
different.
Not.
We're in a different.
What's the term you guys?
The Joker
use?
Never killed the Waynes.
The Joker inspired the killing of the Waynes in the movie The Joker.
And let's not forget about Jack
movie
Nicholson.
Joker starring Joaquin.
I guess Jack Nicholson did kill. He did ask them, do you ever dance?
Jack Nicholson.
Did you ever
Joe
dance
Chill,
with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Jack Napier. Yeah.
Sure.
Very good memory. Okay. Also, question. Is Gotham located near the Arctic Circle where it's like 18 hours of darkness and 6 hours of light? Is that
how
it works?
Nocturnal. He's a nocturnal.
Oh, okay, okay. So things are going
on.
The darkness in this movie is... It made me angry after a while because what Reeves was doing was even making scenes which shouldn't have been dark.
Yes.
For instance, one of the movie's many climaxes takes place in Madison Square Garden because this is the most pure analog of Gotham to New York City that we've ever seen. And it is an election night watch party for a major mayoral candidate, something that I believe all three of us have been to as reporters in our lives. Except in this version of the election night watch party, everything is dark except for a spotlight on stage. That's not what these things are like. These things, the entire arena is lit up because everybody's walking around talking. Yeah. And so this was darkness for the sake of... Mm-hmm. darkness, and it made it hard to watch after a while.
Right.
And the rain.
Oh,
it was super muddy.
And
the
rain. Like, is this Godzilla?
One of the filmmaking things that I hated about this was the constant focus pulling.
Oh.
Like the constantly shifting focus on. I was like, I get it. You have a cinematographer. Fine. Like, fucking just keep the camera on something for a while, please.
Yeah. Okay. So duration is an F. If I could give it a 255.
Well earned.
Okay. Action and violence, I actually gave it an A. I thought the parts that I saw were pretty entertaining. And
the parts
the
that
fights.
I saw. Did you?
No, I mean the parts that I saw. I mean the part. No.
Great. My favorite thing in this movie is Colin Farrell's Penguin, and like the car chase.
Really is
just wonderful. Yeah. That whole car chase sequence.
Incompetently shot.
Oh,
the problem with it is that you see the ending of it in all of the trailers.
Yeah.
Hard to disagree.
How it's going to end.
That car chase is one of the more incompetently shot car chases I've seen in a big budget movie. There is no sense of where either the cars are in relation to one another, why they are not run off the road sooner. Nothing about that chase is successful on screen.
Oh, I disagree with that. I thought it worked for me.
And I'd say sex nudity is a D. It's not enough because of that scene that JVL mentions. It's a pretty good scene. That works. And then the overall is about a C minus then. But like I said, I just did not. I just didn't find any of it compelling. At first I thought, okay, this could be interesting. And then I was like, I just don't care. I just don't care what's happening here.
The length problem, I hate complaining about things just because of their length, because that often doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
One of the few things I like about The Batman is that it is a very small story. It's a very low-stakes story, right? This is essentially a Phantom Menace kind of thing, right? There is a hidden thing, a hidden power in the city that nobody quite understands. And it's unmasking so that we learn who the Sith are, right? Oh, they're a Sith. Mm. It's the Phantom Menace. And I like that. But the problem is it's a small story and a low-stakes tale spread over epic length. And none of that is earned, right? A film does have to earn its scope to one degree
sure.
or another.
Yeah. If you're going to be that long.
The number of throwaway moments, the opening. I cannot believe that a 3-hour movie trying to reboot the single most important piece of intellectual property that Warner Brothers owns begins with a long shot which goes on for like 90 seconds of somebody looking through binoculars in an apartment building up and down and around and with characters who we never really meet or spend any time with and who don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like who does that? Who does that? And that's the other thing. It is this small story and yet the movie is packed with extraneous characters. Oswald Cobblepot, the Colin Farrell character, there is no reason for him to be in this movie. There is no reason, no earthly reason at all for Selina Kyle to be in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The only three characters we need are Maroni is off screen, right? So we need Falcone, we need the Riddler, we need the Batman. That's it. This is a story about those three people. We don't need anything. And all the other stuff, the Penguin and Catwoman, is here because it feels like somebody said, no, it has to be a superhero movie.
No. See, the Penguin stuff works because the Penguin is like wholly in service of the plot. And like and even getting to
what are his motivations?
Like, red herring. Well, he's just a gangster. He's just a fence. He's just running day-to-day operations for the mob. And you need the mobster who gets pissed off that Falcone is the rat for that to land at the end. The Catwoman character is the one that is totally extraneous. All the stuff with her and her Russian girlfriend, cut all that shit out of the movie. And her mom, cut that shit out of the movie. Cut it all out of the movie.
I don't remember the part about the mom. But her father, of course. All right, let me ask you.
Well, her mom, all the stuff with her family relation to
extraneous.
Falcone. Get rid of it. All of it useless.
And she has all these. I mean, she's really good at fighting, but we don't get into sort of why or how she's.
The central story tension is about Thomas Wayne and his relationship with Falcone, and yet that is given like B or C level attention within the story as it's told, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get this one. Honestly, the best scene in the movie is when Falcone, played by John Turturro, who I think is miscast in this. It's the first time I've ever not really liked John Turturro on screen.
I liked him in this just because.
But where he meets with Bruce Wayne and shows a very different side of what we expect of him, where he is explaining to Bruce that, you know, his father was a good guy, and yes, he went and killed this dude on his father's behalf, but, you know. And in order for the story to really land, you need to lean into the idea that Falcone is not as bad as we all think he is. And yet there's almost no effort given to that, right? Because the twist at the end is that Falcone is the Phantom Menace, right? He's Palpatine. He's the one behind everything.
Yeah.
And they just spend almost no time selling him as, like, not as bad as you think, which is what is important. I just think this movie should have been an hour 50. It should have lost many of the characters. As you said, I mean, the movie should end with the Riddler being arrested, right? This is the end of the movie should be the Riddler thinking that he and Batman have been working together and that Batman views him as as a partner, and him going crazy when it turns out the Batman doesn't like him. Like, that should be the end of the movie.
That would have been a great thing, and him banging on the glass.
So they call these seawalls. Seawalls would not be what happens. This is the idea that we're going to flood all of Gotham.
No,
only
like
happens if you're in New Orleans and you're breaking the
Katrina
levees.
Yeah, right? The levees. You blow up levees.
We're going to blow up the levees because the entire city is built below sea level. Mm-hmm. That's fine. It's just, it's okay. It's idiotic.
The other weird thing about this movie is that it wears its influences very much on its sleeve, right? This is very much Seven. It's very much David Fincher's Seven, or the voiceover at the beginning gives off real Taxi Driver vibes, like if you want to stay in the comic book world, it gives off Rorschach vibes.
Yeah,
right?
Again, sure, and things the that Riddler's- if you told me at 16, we're going to be in a Batman movie, I would have been,
sounds awesome. No, this is amazing.
And you haven't seen any of this stuff. Thank you. That was almost like 3D.
But instead of leaning into that at the end, the movie totally blinks from it and says, actually, Batman can still save everybody. It's fine. Like, if you had ended the movie in the prison with the Riddler saying, oh, you're not as smart as I think, and then, like, Madison Square Garden blows up and collapses and kills everybody inside. Right? Like, that would have been the Seven or Taxi Driver.
Oh, that would have been
like a real Rain's going to come and clean these streets. Yeah. And sure enough, he does it. Yeah. Like, and Batman couldn't stop it because he's too fucking dumb. Because he's dumb.
Not very
in this
smart,
movie.
Batman.
No.
He's very
dumb.
He
does collect the greeting cards. He's getting the greeting cards.
There's more detective work in that magical bullet recreation scene in The Dark Knight than there is in this entire movie.
All right. Let me ask you, was it necessary for Colin Farrell to be cast in a fat suit? Could they not have gotten a heavy actor to play this role? Was that necessary? I kept on staring at him and thinking, I was reminded of two things. I was reminded of, Tom Hardy. In remember he did that awful Al Capone movie we saw? Capone, that awful. Reminded me of him. It also reminded me of Al Pacino as Big Boy Caprice and Dick Tracy. Sort of a little bit, you know, just a little, you know.
I disagree with everything that you guys are saying about the Penguin
cartoonish
in this. I thought it was the only thing that worked in this because he is cartoonish.
The worst work I've ever seen Colin Farrell do on screen is the worst performance. Wow. And this guy, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him all the time.
Great actor.
I love him in everything.
Mm-hmm. You guys are wrong.
Go ahead.
I gotta say, the other thing is, this is a Batman movie bereft of ideas. Like, there are no ideas in it, and the story isn't great. It's not even trying to play with any big ideas. And maybe this is just we're spoiled by Christopher Nolan. But even to the extent of, you know, like The Joker is a movie of ideas, Birds of Prey is a movie of ideas, even Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel are, as Sonny will be quick to tell us, they have an idea at the center of them.
Movies.
This doesn't have anything. This is just
movies
like
big ideas.
It's just there.
No, see, I think you're actually wrong on this. I think you're wrong on this. This is a movie with the idea that Batman makes the world a worse place. It is a movie that has internalized all of the like contrarian takes about Batman that like instead of beating up the mentally ill, he should put his money into helping people with philanthropy, right? Or like he inspires more crime than he solves. It's a movie. He needs to confront his white privilege.
I think you're reading your own things into this.
White privilege. It's literally the text of the film. It's not even subtext.
And the idea that Batman is making things worse.
Oh,
I don't think the movie thinks that.
It says it in the text of the film. He's talking about how the crime has gone up over the last 2 years. He says, "Am I making things worse?" And the answer is yes. It's not the subtext. It's the thing above the subtext. It's the text of the movie.
But yet he saves her in the end. This is what again. It may have that in its eye, but it does not have the courage of its convictions to actually go there.
I agree that it does not. Again, this movie would be so much better if everybody just died at the end of it. I would have more respect for it if everybody got blown up.
What did you think of Paul Dano as the Riddler?
Oh, you mean the Joker? Heath Ledger's Joker?
That's exactly what it is. It's a weird... So if we just say it's a different villain,
right,
then people won't realize it.
I mean, like, beat to beat, it's the same.
Yeah. He also looks like he hasn't aged. He looks like he just got out of doing Little Miss Sunshine. And here he is doing the Riddler.
He really is like an ageless wonder.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's very strange. But also, when he puts on the Riddler outfit, yes, he's very cerebral, but he seemed to be much more powerful physically, I thought, when he's as the Riddler.
Well, that's because that's his real self. Right.
Well, he puts his mask on, you can see who he really is.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Just like the Batman.
I did like Jeffrey Wright, but Jeffrey Wright's just a very good actor.
He's not given anything to do.
No. Last night, I rewatched The French Dispatch because Kate had never seen it and loved it.
You're a good husband.
It's very artistic and tasteful. It's tasteful. The movie as a whole is very tasteful. But he's fantastic in that. Everybody's fantastic, obviously. But Jeffrey Wright is really, really good in that role. So I love the way
Jeffrey Wright calls Batman man.
You gotta get it together, man.
Now, you know, the whole time I actually thought to myself, this feels like a movie, the central plot of which is stolen from a Godfather line. You know, Maroni never could have fought Thomas.
Yeah.
I should have known it was Falcone the whole
all
time.
All along. Right? I should have known it was Falcone all along. By the way, I kept on waiting for Eric Roberts to make a cameo appearance.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I liked Pattinson as Batman, but not as
Bruce Wayne.
I don't understand it. And I think it's the first big DC misfire in a while. Because again, I love Peacemaker. I think Peacemaker is great. I liked the Suicide Squad, or was it Suicide
Squad?
That one was whatever the second one was. I liked it.
Yeah, I think that one was the Suicide Squad.
If you put it the, it's a new movie.
Well, you like Birds of Prey a lot.
I did. For me, DC has been on a real hot streak, and this is just I didn't.
I think it fails at a very basic storytelling level. Mm-hmm. It just is not a. It's not a. It's not a well-told or competently told story.
No, it really isn't. It really isn't. Are there stingers? I did not stay.
Neither did I. Neither did I.
There's one all the way at the end. If you stick around all the way to the end, they show the URL, the Rada Alada. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And with like a little question. So like if you go there, there's like a virtual game thing
and
answer riddles.
That's it? I mean, like if on your phone.
Yeah, you go to RadaAlada.com.
This is like the Super Bowl ad giving.
Or Rada, whatever.
I gotta say the end of the film where we have the Riddler and the Joker becoming cellmate buddies. Adjacent cells. That felt to me a lot like an Injustice League with Jesse Eisenberg. Yeah. And I guess it's Terminator who shows up. I just thought, whoever's running creative control over there, the Terminator is Deathstroke. That's the same character. Does somebody Deadshot. doing... No, No, that's a different character. Does somebody who's doing
Deadpool?
No idea what you're talking about.
What I'm saying is, does somebody think that these endings are good for the movies? Does somebody think that's an ending?
Yeah, of course, because it's a shared universe. Doing a shared universe.
People are so conditioned now to say, "Oh, there's going to be good stingers." And lately, including Marvel, there's been some real dud stingers.
This wasn't
like
even
I waited
this is
to
the
see
end of the
a
movie.
Million credits, and it's like, oh.
Well, so interesting. So there,
this has more endings than Return of the King.
Well, it has as many endings as Batman Begins. I rewatched Batman Begins recently, and that movie has like three endings as well. And they have it's the same kind of three endings, mm-hmm. like splitting up with the girl
and
you know, villains, whatever. But
do they ride together on motorcycles for 30 seconds before?
Oh
they
God,
split
that
up?
Shot goes on forever. That shot goes. I like you. You complained about the shot at the beginning, but I didn't have a problem with that. That's building tension. I don't mind that. But that shot at the end where they drive through like 17 cemeteries.
We're driving through another cemetery.
We're just gonna drive
some more.
It's like the runway at the end of that Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah,
Fast and Furious 6 or whatever that is like 27 miles long. No, So the first cut of this movie, I think, was something like 4 hours long.
Oh, my goodness.
And originally, there was a scene where the Joker, Batman shows up and interrogates the Joker like he is essentially Hannibal in Manhunter. And so that scene at the end would have, like, made
that
more sense.
Instead,
it's just tacked on, because why not? Why not just have Batman, or why not just have Joker show up?
And who plays, so this is
Barry Keoghan. He's, remember
Oh,
Eternals?
Yeah. With the, yeah, he's
the
got
Irish
the,
guy
he's
with
the
weird
the
face.
Eye thing going on.
He's
yeah.
got the weird
also,
face.
Also, Chernobyl is very good in Dunkirk.
He was in Dunkirk.
He's playing
I like him
the
Joker. I like him. I actually like him. I like him. I think he's
Joker?
A good actor.
That's weird.
He's a good actor.
That's weird.
He's a good actor.
Because in the
like
beginning,
him.
You see the Joker masks for all that date back to the Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
And I'm sorry, one more thing. The extent to which this is derivative of Dark Knight is offensive.
Yes.
Because it's derivative without being aspirational. Right, mm-hmm. it's not aspiring to be of the same caliber or something. It's just, there is no scene more derivative than when we get the Batman interrogating the Riddler.
Right? Yes,
just like the Joker, but they're not in the same room, so he can't actually hit him, and so he just pounds on the glass.
Yes.
And I just thought, what the fuck?
How many times do we have to
done?
See this in different ways?
What have you done?
Yeah.
we've seen this before. Again, the character is just Heath Ledger's Joker. It's like, it actually, I don't know. I would think they would be kind of ashamed to make
should,
a character that's so obviously the same.
Yeah.
I've talked about this movie a lot now. I talked about it on Across the Movie Aisle. I've talked about it with you guys. I talked about it with a bunch of different friends, like over text message. And I hate it more than just about anybody, except maybe JBL.
Yeah,
I'm glad to be finally amongst people who share my distaste
who
for
likes
this movie.
This?
Because
is it film Twitter that likes
it's
it?
Done, it's
kids and
86% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, 93% audience fresh.
Yeah.
It's getting people love it. People, it's you know
yes.
A minus for
this
cinema
is,
score.
Yeah, this is the rare movie where all three of us were like, "This was terrible." So
I don't understand how people could like both Spider-Man No Way
and
Home
then this.
And this. Like you know, one of them is a well-made movie. One of them is not.
Yeah, but you know, this is so dark.
People are the worst. I like dark. It has Nirvana in it. I was there. He reads from his journal. He practically says, you know, mood music, the postal service, right? I mean, this is how emo he is, right?
Right, he is. He's very emo. He looks.
He's literally wearing eyeshadow
I
half
know,
the time.
I know, because of the mask. And he just doesn't bother to wash it off. So
and
he just...
The hair is like
the hair in his eyes.
Yeah.
And again,
the hair in his eyes.
16-year-old me is down for that. 16-year-old me is there.
Yeah, that's the difference, I think.
And you're right. He's good. He plays a good Batman. It's just the Bruce Wayne does not work really at all. We haven't even talked about Andy Serkis.
Oh, yeah. What did you think about him? Really quick. What did you think?
Let me tell you this.
I like Andy Serkis.
I was fucking offended that he wasn't dead.
Oh, you did not like...
Again, what's the point of having an explosion raise the stakes if the character is then just like in a little light coma?
No,
and then
he's got to be in the next one. By the way, how is it that
then
Batman's
just don't do that.
Face was not damaged when Peter Sarsgaard blew up. You know how close he
was? Peter Sarsgaard's good in this movie.
Yes, Peter Sarsgaard plays it perfectly, and it's a small role, but he does very well. I love Peter Sarsgaard is very good. And also as Charles Lane.
Chuck Lane. It's funny. I just rewatched Mr. Jones, which is about the Ukrainian famine, and Walter Durant. He plays Walter Durante.
Oh, really?
In it, and he plays Walter Durante as like a total degenerate.
Oh, well, okay,
like,
good.
Like a cripple, yeah, I mean, crippled, sex addict, drug addict. Person. It's amazing. It's like it's the most right wing thing I've ever seen in a movie of this sort. But it's just very funny that he has played both like the fabulously scrupulous Chuck Lane, who like risks destroying his own career to like uncover the misdeeds by his reporters, and also Walter Durante. Yeah. You know,
is he related genuinely to Stellan?
Yeah.
Is he related to Stellan? What about the other Sarsgaard?
No, because that's he's Sarsgaard, and they are Skarsgård.
There's Stellan Skarsgård, and then there's Bill Skarsgård and Peter Skarsgård.
That's right, because one of the sons
plays Pennywise. Which is the one that used to
Pennywise.
Be on the Showtime vampire series. He's
no, that was HBO. That was True Blood.
True Blood.
That's Alexander Skarsgård, I believe.
Okay. Is he related to any of them?
Yeah, I think they are the sons of Stellan.
And then Pennywise, was the other Skarsgård. Yes. And then there's Stellan Skarsgård.
And so Sarsgård. Peter Skarsgård
unrelated.
Is not...
No, unrelated. Peter Sarsgaard. Yeah. Sars. Okay. Like,
we've reached like that,
acute respiratory
Ted Leo, or Ted Lasso moment where the sounds are not making words to me anymore.
Okay. Spirit of the Week corrections shout outs.
Three thumbs down. I can't believe
no.
We are on a lonely island out here, folks.
Yeah,
that's something. Yeah, people are going to yell at us in the comments.
No, it was.
There
was a fair amount of people in my theater. I assume yours as well.
Can I throw a little funny thing? So I in my newsletter today, I ran as a section header the word Coldbringer. And just threw a little footnote in saying, you know, a cookie for whoever knows what that is. I was shocked at the number of people who were like, oh, that's the name of the missile in Frank Miller's Dark Knight Rises.
Oh.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
I did not get it
this
either.
Stuff,
This
stuff, the Batman is a major cultural presence. That's all.
Okay.
I have one thing. Hold on.
Yes, Sonny.
Hold up.
What?
Give me one sec. Hold on. We got a birthday shout out.
Ooh.
We got a birthday shout out to David. I'm gonna butcher this, but David Abrametto. I don't know. Wife Samantha signed up for the podcast to send me this message.
Oh,
so
thank you so much.
Happy birthday, David.
Happy birthday.
His birthday was on Monday, March 7th, but obviously David. we didn't
hey,
get the message.
Can I a very elliptical shout out, because I don't want to betray any privacy issues, but I shared it with you guys, and a friend of the show had a wonderful life event.
Oh yes.
And had a baby, and I don't want to say any more than that, except that when they listen to this, we're thinking of you and couldn't be happier.
Overjoyed. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sunny Bunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We are there. Tell your friends. Until next time. So, if you have something, I defer to
you. You know, I'm just going to say that I really hated Zoe Kravitz as Selena Kyle, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I can't believe that she's the daughter of Lenny Kravitz. I didn't realize that Lenny Kravitz is old, but I guess that means we're old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, isn't he in his 20s like us? Oh, wait a minute, we're not.
No.
Okay. So, you know, knowing that this movie was going to be like 3 hours long, and
oh,
I went
did
to...
Did you do Run P?
No, I didn't. Strangely, something happened to my kidneys, and I didn't move. There was a mess in the chair when I was over. I have no idea how that happened. It was... No, but I knew... So it was like 4:30, which meant, by the way... No, it was 4:40, which means it did not start until 5:05, right? And it's going to go on until like 8 o'clock. So I'm like, it's right in the middle of dinner. So I had leftovers... from the night before. It just, Jonathan's putting his hand on his head. He doesn't even want to know how this ends. I had
it, you it brought was, them it, into the theater with you, didn't you?
I did, in aluminum foil. And like that giant friend of ours that we talk about with the backpack and the aluminum foil in the back. And it was so, I didn't think it would, I forgot how loud aluminum foil is. And I just waited for the club seats
crinkle,
to take it out. And it was, because the weather was so warm, not now, it's cold again, but it was warm. So I had grilled some sausages on the grill. So I took out these sausages and I just hope no one saw the silhouette of me with the, you know, the just going back and forth.
I'm sure it's fine.